For the fact that I'll be announcing the sermon for the day this morning, as Mr. Chester Crowell enjoys doing, announce himself for the sermonette. He's done that a couple of times. This is my first time, I think. Whatever. Anyway, think about these things. A string tied onto your finger. A post-it note. A phone call from your doctor or dentist. How about your shopping list? How about the day runner calendar? How about a scribbled note on a calendar for a certain day or a certain month? How about when you get a blip sound, whatever sound you put on your computer, and a dialog box comes up? What do these things have in common? One word. Reminders. Some of you got it. Reminders. And that is the title for the sermon today. Reminders. And they are reminders of various kinds that we've talked about. The calendar has a bunch of them. New Year's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day, birthdays, anniversaries, on and on. Family reunions, first weekend of August. That's the Johnson family reunion. Reminders tell us of events that occurred in the past. They tell us of appointments and activities to come. Where else can we find reminders? When the cat hollers at you, I want to be fed. Well, here's another place. The Bible. The Bible's full of reminders. So in the Bible, God has established reminders for all of us, all of mankind. And these are given by Him in a loving manner for a very, very important reason. They are there to help us maintain our relationship with Him, ensuring our participation and involvement in His mighty work now and on into the future. And that work is the work of salvation of all mankind, the work of bringing many sons and daughters to glory, eternal life in the God family. So, what about the reminders that God has established? What are they? What comes to your mind? You got lots of ideas. Well, let me ask this one. What about reminders that God has set for Himself? What comes to your mind? Well, let's first look at reminders that God has established for all mankind. The first one that I put down there is the Sabbath. That's a weekly reminder. The Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. When God spoke these words from Mount Sinai, He said in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The Sabbath is a reminder. As we take the time to assemble together to fellowship together on services, and also to take the time to connect with God throughout the day. But also, let's take a look at another reference in Exodus 31. Exodus 31 gives us a little bit more information about the Sabbath. In Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. A sign. That's a reminder. That's a reminder for the people of Israel and all those who keep the Sabbath, to remember that it is God who sanctifies us, who sets us apart. Verse 14, You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be surely put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant. That's a covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And so, when we keep the Sabbath, we are reminded that God created the world, the universe. He created the earth as we are living on now, made it for us. We are also are reminded that the Sabbath has a very special purpose, carries a great deal of meaning for each and every one of us, for all of mankind. And as we keep it, week after week, year after year, we gain greater spiritual understanding of the ramifications of the keeping of the Sabbath, and the understanding what it points to. Here's a second reminder that God has established. It deals with the holy days. And then on these holy days throughout the year, we usually turn to this chapter in Leviticus. Leviticus 23. The holy days of God. In verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to God. He claims possession of these feast days. And then in verse 4, These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So these times were very specific. They are appointed by God and directed by God to the ministry, to the Levites, to proclaim them. And then the people were to come together on these holy days. And then later on through the chapter, these holy days and holy day seasons are explained and instructions are given to the people. And today, we keep the holy days because they do remind us of God's plan of salvation. What He is doing the plan that he has and the Son, the Word of God, has taken, I couldn't say time, because time didn't exist yet. When they thought it out, and they carefully planned it out, and they said, this is what we're going to do, and they began their great work of creation and the work of building a family, the family of God. And we then, having been called, chosen, having repented and been baptized, and the Holy Spirit given to us through the laying on of hands, we become participants in these holy days, and we learn. We are reminded year after year of this awesome purpose for all of mankind, the incredible potential that every person has to become a member of the family of God, to be immortal, and to live with the Father and the Word for eternity. The third reminder that I can point out today is this. The commandments of God. These are reminders of how we ought to conduct our lives, how we are to connect to the Father, to God, and how we are to relate to our fellow man. We see these commandments, the Ten Commandments specifically, in Exodus 20 and also in Deuteronomy 5. But let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy is the book that relates the time when Israel has finished their journey through the wilderness of 40 years. And Moses now taking the time to remind them and go over that covenant that the people, the nation of Israel, had entered into with the God 40 years earlier. So he takes the time to remind them. And this is a portion of that reminder in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments. Not only do we have commandments, but we have the statutes, we have the judgments, which are applications of the commandments of God, applications relating to how we ought to conduct ourselves toward our fellow man, the judgments, whatever situation that comes up. How do we judge those? How do we arrive at a solution that fits with the law of God, the commandments? Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Can I remind you that tells you that God is the life giver. He's a sustainer of life. And when we turn to him and rely on him, he does bless us with length of days and quality of life. Verse 3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Shema, as the Jewish religion refers to it. The Shema. Verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus Christ referred to that in one of the scenarios that is recorded in Matthew 22, verse 39, where this one person replied to him this particular phrase, sentence, and Christ told him, you have spoken well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Those that will be reminders to the family, to the children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You're living and you're breathing the Word of God daily. In verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. More reminders, post-it notes, a string on the finger. The memory work that you have between your eyes. Now in Matthew chapter 5, when we come to the New Testament era, we're talking about the commandments of God, we come into the point of time when Christ was up on the mountain, and he gave a discourse. Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 17 of chapter 5 of Matthew, he tells those who are listening, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. That's referring to the law, the prophets, and I'm sure also the writings, the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In other words, to give true meaning to the law, and to what was prophesied, to the words that were inspired by God to be written into the Old Testament. Christ continues in verse 18, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So Christ was making that emphasis, that's a point. And he made further emphasis in verses 19 and 20. Showing you his viewpoint, his emphasis upon the law, and that what he is going to be doing, that he will magnify it. He's going to give greater significance to the law, to give a greater depth of understanding to the law. And following these verses, we have the sixth, quote, you have heard, unquote, statements, where Christ said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, and then such and such a scenario, and goes on to teach more. and how this law is expanded, how it follows the true depth and meaning of what he had said in the Old Testament. Then he finishes with verse 48, in Matthew 5. He said, after all these, this explanation of these six you have heard, he said, therefore, you shall be perfect or become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So through what means is it that we become perfect or mature, as it can be rendered? It is through the commandments of God that we become mature. It is through the application of them. It is through the understanding, the depth of them, as we learn by studying, as we learn by attending Sabbath services, as we study, as we talk with one another, as we read the good news, hear the Beyond Today, view the various booklets. We shall become perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect, is mature. But in order to pursue that directive, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. And Jesus, later on in his ministry, towards the end of it, he said that he will send that help in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is during the Passover, the last Passover that Christ shared with his disciples. John 14, we will be reading that, these words again. And we do that every year at the Passover services. John 14. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another word can be used is comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. That it may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now I use the word it because it was a, what did they call that? It's a word that does not have a gender. That's how it was spoken of. They had a name for it, the terminology, which I cannot remember now. But nevertheless, the Spirit will be given to us. And it is given to us upon our repentance, baptism, and through the laying on of hands of the ministry. And we are given that gift, that earnest, to be able, and it dwells in us, for us to be able to then fulfill the depth of the commandments of God in our lives, to understand the meaning of those commandments. Take a look at verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It helps us. God's Holy Spirit reminds our spirit of what His law says, of what His purpose is. It reminds us of what His word says in certain situations when we face them. And so, now that we have God's Holy Spirit, even before we were baptized, you know, God is calling people and calling individuals. That was His Holy Spirit working with the individual, and granting us then the understanding until He brings us along to that point of repentance and then going through those steps. And then the Spirit comes, is put into us and dwells in us. And God and Jesus Christ dwell in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. And then number four is the next reminder. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Verse, or chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul's writing to this young man, this letter, and he said to Timothy in verse 6 of chapter 1, because of the training, the teaching that Timothy's mother and grandmother has given him, let's take a look at verse 5 when Paul said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, that I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So that's number four. The reminder to stir up the gift of God's Holy Spirit in us. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's a reminder for us, because we are human beings. We are subject to the failings. We're not perfect yet. We're not that mature yet. But it is a maturing and a growing process, as much as what Mr. Kubik referred to in his letter, a growth process. So we are reminded to stir up the Spirit. And how do we stir up the Spirit of God? How do we do that? We don't take a ladle or a spoon and then stir some soupy mixture. Not at all, when you think of that stirring. No, it's a stirring of putting to action something. You are making the effort to create a movement, a current. And that current is a use of God's Spirit in reading His Word, in applying His Word, studying, in connecting to God. So then when you look at Hebrews chapter 5, when Paul was the author of Hebrews, as most believe, for though, in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you know, they've been around long enough. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, the Word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partake only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use or practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that use of God's Spirit in reading God's Word and the continual effort day after day, week after week, month after month, year upon year, you grow as you use God's Spirit to the purpose of learning more about His way and how to live His life, His example of living and following that as we do our lives each day. So its gift is to be exercised daily. It's so the reminder to stir up the gift of God's Holy Spirit is that point number four. Point number five, the reminder that God has set for us is this. We are reminded of four tools to use in our daily walk, in our walking in the truth of God. Pray, study, meditation, and fasting. How many of you, I shouldn't say how many, have you received the latest booklet the United Church of God has produced in the mail? Tools for Spiritual Growth. That's a new booklet that has been put out to show those tools. And among them would be prayer, study, meditation, and fasting. Tools for spiritual growth. So we are reminded to do those, to exercise those tools and use them. Now, what about reminders that God has set for Himself? And that's my point number B, the second major point. What about the reminders God has set for Himself? Can you think of any? Consider the time of the flood. You think of the rainbow. Turn to Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. Because again, it was a part of an agreement, a covenant. But he said, God, in other words, the Word of God, said this in Genesis 9 and verse 12. Now let's go back up to verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 9 of Genesis. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you." Not just with man, he's talking about everybody, every creature. "The birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." Verse 12, and God said, "This is the sign of the covenant," a reminder, a sign, "of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Verse 13, "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So God set that particular reminder for Himself, that rainbow. "It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters never again shall become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's on the earth. So when we do look at the rainbow, I'm sure we are reminded of this part of Genesis. A rainbow that, and I'm wondering, never occurred before. Because what was the moisture before the flood? The dew that fell on the earth overnight. It gave the moisture to the plants. And now we got a change in our climate. Talk about climate change. God has made it possible. So now we have rain. We have the, and as the sun strikes the drops of water, the prism that comes about creating that rainbow, it's quite a sight. Even when you're a kid, you know, you're playing around and you sprinkle the water out of the hose and the sun hits it just right and you see a little rainbow. You're probably paying attention to squirting your friends and all of that and not even paying attention to the rainbow, but you do see it. Or the rainbow which, when you're driving along on the freeway, and the spray that comes up from trucks and the sun hits it just right and you can see it. Reminders all over the place of the rainbow. Let's take a look at chapter 2 of Exodus. Here's another covenant that God talks about that he remembers. Exodus chapter 2. And verse 24. Exodus 2, verse 24. And here we are talking about the nation of Israel being subjected to the slavery of the Pharaoh. And the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage in verse 23. In verse 24, so God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He cut an agreement with those three men. Because it was his purpose to create a family through to represent his laws through this family of Abraham. And eventually it was going to cover all of mankind. Because they, all mankind will, you know, hopefully everyone will become a part of what we call the seed of Abraham. It was described in the New Testament. So God remembered that covenant. And he looked upon the children of Israel, verse 25, and he acknowledged them. He remembered that covenant. In Psalm 105, the 105th Psalm, it's a psalm that when you look at it, basically when you read it all, gives a history of what God has done for the nation of Israel. And have a title of the psalm in this Bible called The Eternal Faithfulness of the Lord. Let's start with verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And in verse 42, dropping down to verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise when the tribe of Israel and the nation of Israel went through the wilderness, and as he was bringing them to the promised land. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen one with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and his laws. That covenant that the nation agreed to back at Mount Sinai, and God agreed with them as well. Praise the Lord. It ends that psalm. So God remembers that particular covenant. But just let's apply it to ourselves. We've cut a covenant with God as well. We've entered into it with him when we repented, we were baptized. We made that agreement with him. And we then are encouraged to realize that God also remembers the covenant he has made with each and every one of us. It's very encouraging to know that. Here are some words that further describes, illustrates God's faithfulness toward his people. Turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. And let's start with verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And that's when they were starting to look to other gods. He said, this is what's going to happen. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations, where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And when you are in distress or in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. God is faithful to his part in the agreement. He won't forget. He won't leave you. He won't forsake us. And as we think about that, we are also reminded too that God has told Joshua as they entered into the promised land, in Joshua 1 verse 5, when the Lord himself said this to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And we've read those words in the New Testament as well. Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Book of Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The phraseology here in Greek is commented by several commentaries saying this is, they had a certain term for it, it had a double meaning, giving it an extra strength. I will, in other words, you can say it this way, I will never, never, ever leave you, nor will I ever, ever forsake you. Really emphasizing that point to any and all who turn to God and live by his laws and obey his precepts. It's a reminder that God has set that he will never leave us. Now what happens to us? What happens to anyone if we don't mind the reminders? What will happen? In other words, we forget. Consider ourselves. We are human beings. The older we get, the more we forget. Unless you've got a sharp mind. There are some people who are 100 years old, their minds are sharp as a tack. And we've appreciated a couple of them in our lifetime. One was my aunt, and another one was our neighbor next door way back when, in our early marriage years. Well, let's take a look at I'll just refer to an Old Testament example. When you look at the book of Judges and the nation of Israel, and you go through it and you read it, and you see the lesson at the end that says that every man did what was right in his own eyes. But then you saw also people who forgot God, his laws, and what happened to them? They had troubles with their neighbors, the Philistines and the other Steens and the other tribes around them. And they were in basically slavery to them, troubled by them for several decades. It's a cyclical thing that occurred there. God brought up a judge, and this judge helped the people to bring them back to God. And they then were prosperous for 40 years, for the various periods of time. And then that judge dies, and then people fall again. So that's pretty much a strong example for anyone, individual or nation or families, who are in danger of forgetting God. Here's a New Testament example. There was a warning that was given by the Apostle Paul, and is given in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. During the New Testament years of the early church, there was a lot of things that were going on in those first, say, 60, 70 years. But Paul, he had given in this particular instance a warning. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, and look at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, and then he tells them a bit of history. Now let's go on down to verse 28. In verse 27, I'll start there. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse or misleading things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was reminding these elders to remember these words. He was aware of the undercurrents that was going on within the church and also society that the church was surrounded by. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm referring to this particular section in verses 27 through 30 of 1 Corinthians 11, just to indicate, because we go through this every year at Passover, but to indicate there are people that will forget. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the word in Lord in an unworthy manner. In other words, they forgot. They've done it. They're not giving it the proper respect. Will be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Remember what was said earlier that in Hebrews, to be able to discern between good and evil at the end of Hebrews, chapter 5. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And then let's go to Colossians for another example. Colossians chapter 4. Paul is writing to this individual, the people in Colossians. In verse 14 of chapter 4, he makes mention of these two men, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, greet you. Remember those names, particularly Demas. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 10, Paul writing to Timothy here later, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And so, that's an example of people who forgot that special calling, the relationship that they have had with the Father and with Jesus Christ. And then we have the prophecies. That's number three here. The prophecy of what's to happen in the future. And now you can just write down Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. Those are the blessings and cursings chapters of the Old Testament. These are warnings against forgetfulness. Now, number four, the fourth point, D, as in dog, encouragement to follow through on reminders. God gives us encouragement to follow through. He knows our frame. Christ reminds him of it as well. He is our high priest. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says in verses 5 through 9, so for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Then Peter encourages and exhorts those who read, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John's letters are also full of encouragement as well. He mentions in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, and verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See how it all ties together? In verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected, or is being made complete in him. And by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. 2 John chapter 4. There is no chapter 4, is there? 2 John 4. I've caught you going into 3 John, didn't I? 2 John 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. In verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to the commandments, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So, and then he said in verse 4 of 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And then, here's God's own statements giving encouragement. as we look to the future, the completion of His plan that has been carefully put together. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, where it refers to Jeremiah 31. But Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. End of sins. We'll remember them no more. So that's a tremendous encouragement as well, when God will do that work of putting his laws into our minds and write them onto our hearts. So we have seen that God has set reminders for us as well as for himself. We've received and we are reminded of warnings against forgetfulness. And then we also are encouraged as God encourages us to follow through on the reminders to continue to walk in truth and to exercise His Holy Spirit and rely on God's Holy Spirit, for it will help us to remember the reminders. When we take the time and when we make the effort to strive to follow the reminders daily and walk in truth, we are showing our Heavenly Father we strongly desire to be like Him, to live with Him and all His family forevermore.